Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, a little bit different podcast today. I talked to Jeff Samardzija, who is going to be part of the Coaching Corps Game Changer Awards. They air Tuesday night, January 30th at 9 p.m. on NBC Sports Bay Area. Jeff is going to honor his college football coach, Tyrone Willingham, who obviously had a huge impact on him. And we got into that here, had a long discussion and talked about why he chose Willingham and then talked about his college football career and being a two-sport star. It's something that he doesn't discuss a whole lot these days. He does behind the scenes a little bit, but not publicly. I think he did that a lot when he was younger, but it was fun to talk to him about Notre Dame and that experience there. He was really, really good as a college player, somebody who could have gone pro in either direction, chose baseball. It obviously has worked out pretty well for him. And then again, because of what's happened lately, we've had a lot of talk lately on this podcast about Longoria, McCutcheon, Jackson, what comes next. So I had to ask Jeff about all that. And he is down there in Scottsdale. He lives there. He's training down there. So ask him, what's the vibe down there? What's he hearing from teammates? How are they feeling about the offseason? And I thought he had some interesting things to say about what this team needs to do, especially in April and May, and what they need to do from the beginning of the season to make sure that it's not a repeat of last year. So we talked some football. We talked some baseball. Jeff is always a good conversation. He won our Good Guy Award last year for the media. So somebody who is always fun to talk to. Here that is again. Coaching Corps Game Changer Awards are Tuesday, January 30th at 9 p.m. on NBC Sports Bay Area. For now, Jeff, we'll preview that a little bit with this podcast. Jeff Samardzija, everybody in San Francisco knows you as a Giants pitcher. I think a lot of people remember your football days, though. I looked that up recently. I had forgotten how good you were the last 2 years. 155 catches, over 2,300 yards, 27 touchdowns. So I guess it makes sense that for the Coaching Corps event on Friday, you are going to honor a football coach, your first football coach at Notre Dame, Tyrone Willingham. And first of all, I just wanted to ask you, you've had a lot of managers, a lot of coaches at different levels. What made you choose Tyrone?
I think I've had a lot of managers and coaches that have taught me, a ton in athletics and, better than me as an athlete and as a player, that given sport. But, Ty is the first guy that came to mind when this came up. Someone that kind of transcended just the sporting world and kind of, worked into my everyday life too, of just how to grow up and be a man and kind of take over the reins from my father, because, going to college is a big time of a young man's life. And to have a guy like that there waiting for me when I got there helped me out immensely, especially with my senior year in high school and the ups and downs that took place there. To come to such a steady hand like Tyrone was when I got there was a big part of my life.
So every year when we do this, I ask guys about why they chose somebody, and usually it's off-field stuff. I think it's life skills and things like you just mentioned. What specifically did he do for you as a teenager and somebody who was coming into a big program and being put in a pretty big spotlight?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was always, in a sense, coaching. I think he was such a big attitude coach. He was always big about the way you approach things, the way you handle things, the way you look forward, and just the way you carry yourself. So, I mean, obviously that goes on both sides. I think that matters in sports just as much as it does off the field. There's great times in sports, and then there's down times in your career. And how you handle both those situations is always so important. And also, always what stuck with me was just the way that he never stopped teaching. He always found moments. If he saw you slacking and in that given moment, he had always wasn't scared to jump all over you, and just was always about doing things the right way and kind of pressing the fact that if you could stay with that process, over time, things are going to start to go in your favor because of your positive outlook and the way you learn from your mistakes and other people's mistakes. He always had a great way of putting things that made sense. And, and, you know, kind of stuck with you over time. I think sometimes you hear things and they go in one ear out the other, and for some reason things that, Ty have said over time have always stuck with me. So, you know, there's something special there when that happens.
So you were part of a huge recruiting class that he had. I think it was a top five class. I know usually that you guys kind of overlapped it in different years in terms of the years he was there, but how involved was he in the recruiting process, and was it something that he took over from somebody else? Was he the guy who closed the deal and brought you there, or what ended up happening there?
Yeah, I had a pretty interesting there situation because when I first was being recruited, my sophomore, junior high school, it was Bob Davie was there, and then they had the whole O'Leary mess, you know, with resume, with botching your resume, and maybe I didn't letter in college. You know, there's different characters. I think everyone likes to think that guys that are in coach of big-time programs are, you know, good dudes and this type of guy, but everyone's different, and there's different cards all over the place. And so I had Greg Madison, who's a D coordinator. I think he was with Michigan, was with the Ravens for a while. He kind of stayed on with Bob Davie through O'Leary and then stayed on with Tyrone. So he kind of recruited me through the process, but Ty was the one that officially offered me a scholarship when I went to camp there over a weekend. And, you know, they put me through the ringer with the 40 and the L cone drill and, you know, 225 bench press. And they kind of brought in five receivers and threw us all up against the wall and, you know, would see who would stick. And I remember the getaway day on that Sunday, Ty called me and my father into his office and officially offered me a scholarship, and he gave his reasons why, you know, they all hit home with me on why he felt like I should be there. And after that, we did a couple other things, but really, I just couldn't ever get Notre Dame out of my head, and kind of knew after that that was going to be the place for me.
It must have been a fast 40 time if they offered you one. Sunday.
It was good enough. Let's just say that.
Good enough. You know,
with my hands and my route running, you just had to be good enough.
There you go. The height too. I didn't realize until researching this a little bit that he had played football and baseball in college too. Yeah. I think at Michigan State. So was that something that resonated with you as a teenager and somebody who obviously knew that you were good at both and wanted to do both?
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of get the rundown from everybody that they would let me play two sports, you know, and obviously with Ty, I've played baseball, and he actually was just a baseball fan, you know, the way he talks about baseball, he's very fond of it, and had been a fan of it most of his life. So, you know, going into that situation, it made it a lot easier, but originally I wasn't going to play two sports. I was just going to play football. It took Paul Maneri, the head baseball coach, and Tyrone getting together on their own time, that then they came to me and said I could do it if I wanted to. And so, of course, I said yes. And so for them to be, you know, that forward thinking and looking out for my best interest too, and then when they didn't have to, you know, I think that's the biggest part of this whole thing for me with Ty is to have that power and to not abuse it, I'm forever grateful for. And, you know, I think it takes a big man to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, on a football scholarship, he could have let you just play football, right? He could have just said no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Clayton Richard's a great example of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
I remember Michigan told me that they would let me, right? I could play two sports, and, you know, I think that was just their pitch to get me there. I ended up not going there, but Clayton did, and they ended up not letting Clayton play baseball. So once he lost the spot to Henny, then he decided to stop playing football and only play baseball. So, you know, luckily for me, from day one, I was able to do both and enjoy both, and it allowed me to grow as a football player, you know, because I wasn't that good my first 2 years. I was undersized, and I needed some time to grow, and they still let me play baseball, even though I still had those shortcomings in football. So, you know, like I said, it takes a good man to be able to look forward and see what could be and to not prevent a kid his opportunities and limit his opportunities.
I'm sure the Giants are appreciative. Just looking up, I'd remembered this a little bit from, I mean, I remember you from college and remember him, obviously, as a really good coach. And I remember it was a little controversial when they let him go, and it was only three seasons there. And, I mean, the record that last year wasn't great, but I think that's a pretty short run for a college coach. I mean, what impact did that have on you as a young player? And also, how much did you keep in touch with him after that and since then?
Yeah, I mean, he... from what I've heard, and this is just hearsay, right, but I'm obviously rather close to the organization, from what I heard, Ty was relieved of his job because he wouldn't part ways with any of his guys. Now, you could ask him, and, and, you know, maybe get him to okay the story, even if he might not even do it anyways. But to me, it fit his personality that he was that honorable and, you know, and stood up for his guys that much to where he said, these are my guys. Either, you know, we're a package deal or else you're going to have to let me go. So I'm not sure if that was just hearsay, you know, but to me, it made sense because Ty's that kind of guy where he's not willing to throw other people under the bus and he's willing to take take responsibility for things. And he set the tone by doing things like that for everybody. So he went from there to Washington and got a gig. So we didn't really stay in touch too much because we were playing that next year. So we're kind of rivals in a way. But then as time went on and I got traded to Oakland, we really got back together in our relationship, you know, kind of hit another common ground because he was down at Stanford and he would come up to a few games here and there. And we had some mutual friends. So, but that's the great thing about Ty for me is, you know, he's one of those guys that you, even if you don't see him for a year or two or talk to him for a year or two, when you see him, you pick up right where you left off because there is that, you know, there is that relationship and that respect for each other where you don't forget the moments you had together.
So we've talked a lot, and spring training is coming up, and I know that's a time where, you know, we always have just a ton of time. People standing around, and football has come up a fair amount, but I'm wondering, you know, looking at, I know Brandon Crawford was a very good high school player, looking at Andrew McCutchen the other day at his history, he was as well. How often does your career come up in the clubhouse, and how often do these guys talk about what they might have done in high school or what they could have done if they had gotten the opportunity? I know a lot of guys in there are very confident in their athletic abilities and probably feel that they could have been two-way players too.
Yeah, you know, I think baseball guys naturally are really fond of football players. I think there's a lot of guys play fantasy, right? A lot of guys are diehard fans of their hometown teams. And I think because it is a different type of sport, you know, there is that curiosity there for football from baseball guys. So, you know, now so the older I get, the more we talk like actually X's and O's. You know, guys are more interested in what defenses are being ran and how offenses adjust, you know, accordingly and things like that. And now there's some younger guys coming up, right, that were born in like 98 and 99 and all these things that did watch me as a kid. And so and I, to them, I'm an old dude, you know, that used to play football. And so it's kind of funny, you know, the transition that happens over a 3-4 year part of your career is crazy. If you go from a young guy to an old guy real fast. And so it's fun. I love talking football. And for a while, I kind of buried it just because it was so hard to watch and understand that I gave it up, and I try to just separate myself from it as much as possible. But now the older I am and the fact I know I can't go play anymore, it's a little easier to reminisce and talk about the things that were. But everybody usually remembers the USC game and that or the UCLA game or when I came out and played at Stanford. So, you know, that's usually what I'm dealing with.
Well, I'll get you out on baseball because that is what you chose, and it's worked out very well. And I know you're down there in Scottsdale preparing. I mean, this has been a huge offseason and a busy offseason with Longoria and McCutchen. Now, Jackson, what's the vibe down there? I know you've been in Scottsdale and maybe met Longoria and some other guys are working out. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the vibe of you guys? Are you texting guys? Are you seeing guys in person? Are you excited about what Bobby and Brian and Boach have done?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, we've all been in touch, the whole crew. So I think we've got a great rhetoric going right now about this season and honestly just the feeling of it, of everybody excited to get this camp going and, you know, excited to have a bunch of guys that know how to play this game and, you know, kind of joking around about our ages and this and that and having fun with some certain things. You know, it's a cool thing about having a bunch of veteran guys is everyone's got thick skin. Everyone's been there and is able to take things with a grain of salt, man. Everybody understands that the stories will be written, you know, after the 162 games are played and that's when it matters. So, you know, we're just getting ready for the season, making sure we all get on the same page with each other's personalities and who we are. And but ultimately, we go down the list and you see all these guys rad and love to play the game. You know, you see McCutchen diving all over the place. You see Longo winning gold gloves. And on top of that, they're ball players. They know how to play the game and they know how to win. So we're going to be looking to gel all that together and start fast. I think it's going to be, you know, the words coming out of my mouth all spring will be start fast and you know, can't win it in the first month, but, you know, you want to be right there for a good summer run and then a late fall run, too.
Yeah, I think you guys were in last year. You can't win it the first month, but you can fall pretty far out in April and May.
You can clip yourself there pretty early if you let it get away from you. You know, another thing is, too, is we understand, you know, just kind of the backstory. We came off of a first-round loss in 16 and saw how hard it is after a full season of going to bounce back. And, you know, we saw those effects last year, and you know, we know we got three playoff teams coming into the season in our division, and but three teams that had long seasons, you know, and battled and left a lot out there. So, you know, hopefully we can pick it up early and get off to a fast start, and then, you know, see where we're at come June and then really start to hit our stride when we know we'll be coming together as a team, since we've got some new parts here and there. But, you know, ultimately just really excited. And, you know, they've done a great job, too, of keeping us off that whatever we call a luxury tax or so, you know.
Yeah.
It's a devastating thing. It's a crippling an organization type thing if you get into that and get too deep into it. So, you know, they've done a great job with adding great talent and still keeping us viable economically, too.
Well, I'll get you out on one of the guys you added specifically, at, just because you've seen him a ton in McCutchen, you guys being in the Central together and obviously have been around for a while. I looked it up. He is 15 for 40 against you, but you have struck him out 13 times, and he hasn't hit a homer off you. So what does he bring at the plate? And also, I mean, I know you don't have to say anything about last year's outfield defense, but just watching, I just thought you got crushed by a lot of balls that dropped and a lot of singles that turned into doubles and triples. So having him out there in right field and having different options in the outfield, I mean, what's that going to do for you?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you confidence, you know, that those 2-0 counts and those 1-0, 3-1 counts, you can put it over there, you know, let them hit it and let that big field work into play for you. You know, I've been joking around McCutchen a little bit here the last few days. I used to have to keep plugging him in the ribs just to keep him, you know, keep him off the pitch away. And I've actually, he had a lot of success off me early in my career. And then finally later on, you know, I started, like I said, throwing him in and just not letting him be too comfortable. But for so many years, he was the guy, you know, that you didn't let beat you in that lineup. And usually if you kind of took care of him, you know, before Marte got there and Polanco, you know, if you kind of took care of him, usually you were okay. So, but he was a tough out, and then you didn't want to put him on the bags because he'd steal a bag too and put a runner in scoring position. And so he's just an all-around great player. I always love the way he plays the outfield. You know, his highlights are always him diving, you know, flipping the ball in and having fun. You know, you don't see him just tracking balls down on two hops and throwing them in. He's trying to make that play. You know, I always appreciate that guy that's out there and wants to be on the top 10. It's I think it's an attitude you have out there in defense, and you take pride in it, no doubt.
Right. Well, it won't be long before you guys are together on the field in Scottsdale. But first, Friday, January 26th, honoring Tyrone Willingham. Jeff, thank you for taking the time to talk about him, talk a little bit about the Giants, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.